Good morning, everybody. This is Bo Mitchell and Bob Belts. You're listening to You Get the Blessing. And you will be blessed, right, Bob?
Absolutely. And the Beatles talked about the sun, S-U-N. We love talking about the sun, S-O-N. This could be a good song about the second coming of Christ.
Give it to Biff. He'll rewrite the word.
Yeah.
George Harrison, I believe. We do love the Beatles, we do love the Bible, we do love each other, and we do love the fact that we hear from you listeners from time to time telling us you understand what we're trying to accomplish on this program as we introduce you to individuals that we think are impacting this community for Christ. Our guest today is Debbie Johnson with Denver Works. Debbie, welcome aboard.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Before we ask you about your background, I want to ask my co-host Bob Belts, tell us about Highline Community Church and a very special thing you're getting launched here soon.
Well, this morning, actually, is our first Sunday of a kind of a brand new series called Route 66. And if our listeners don't know it, there are 66 books in the Bible. And over the next however many weeks, probably 66 it takes us, every Sunday we're going to just go through one book of the Bible, and I'll explain it, what it's about, what it means in your life. And so if you don't know much about the Bible and want to, this would be a great, you know, time to come and hook up with us. We're just south of Quebec and I-25, kind of south of the old Shepler's building. And along with that this morning, if you stick around, we'll feed you lunch because we have a picnic going. But come join us on Route 66. We're kind of play with it and play with the old Route 66 TV show and sort of blend them together and have a good time, I think.
That's what happens at Highline, actually. Very non-threatening atmosphere, but very serious about Christ and biblical teaching led by Dr. Bob Belts, my co-host. And we start at 10:30.
10:30. And again, you'll feel welcome, I guarantee you.
Yeah, and you can slip in the back first week or two if you're a little uncomfortable walking into new territory, and that'll be just fine. But you'll also feel, like Bob said, very welcome, greeted by great folks. And that sounds like a fabulous series. 66 books he's going to go through, and nobody teaches the Bible like Belts. You'll love it. So that's Highline Community Church, just south of the old Shepler's there off the freeway.
Yep.
Okay, Debbie, now to you. We'd like to start with you discussing with us just a little bit about your background. Where were you raised, and what was the climate like in your home as a kid?
Great question. I was raised in Little Rock, Arkansas, and I was three years old when the Central High School racial thing happened, and so people are doing the math to see how old I am. But
I'm sorry, I don't even know what happened.
A lot younger than your co-host and host this morning.
So. What happened?
With the high school student, the black students going into the white high schools, and then National Guard was called out, and this was in the late 50s. And so that really informed some things that my church did. It was one of the first traditionally white churches to integrate in the whole country. And also our church did things like started a day camp for kids that were, this was when working mothers were just, when a lot of women were going back to work. And we started a day camp for the kids, and then the elderly were kind of stuck out there either choosing a nursing home or home, and they were kind of stuck out there, so our church started a residence hotel for the elderly. And so I just grew up thinking that all Christians were this way, just super involved in their world, both at home and also around the whole world. And so that launched me into my career of both local and international missions.
And I wasn't born till 66, so no wonder I don't remember.
Well, of course.
Oh, no, wait a minute. That was born again. I was born in 49. I still don't remember this. But that is amazing that that was all happening right around you and impacted you so completely. So you just thought, this is the natural way to conduct
yourself. That's exactly
yourself. Right. So personally then, can you even remember a season of your life when you said okay to Christ? I'm in.
Yeah, I was pretty young, because it totally made sense to me. I was six when I became a Christian, and then I went to a Christian college and have been doing ministry ever since, with a few forays into teaching and music and a few other things. But my big deal, my secret sauce, is to get involved with missions around the world.
So, Bob, let's stop for a second and discuss this with our listeners. Six-year-old, are you able to pray and receive Christ and know what you're doing? Because we've heard this a number of times from guests on our program that I was five, I was seven, whatever, and today we hear six. You believe that happens and lasts?
You know, first of all, I think it's I actually think it's probably the way God intended it, so that from our earliest years, as soon as we become conscious and able to comprehend, you know, what we can at six. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of abstract concepts when you start talking about God, but I do think that children have a heart and a, you know, that's, I think so. That's why Jesus said, "Let the children come unto me," you know. And so, absolutely. And I think probably what happens is that, again, as we get older, and hopefully the ideal would be that, you know, that we, you know, continue, our parents nurture us or our church nurtures us, and we, you know, kind of stick with it. We hear also a lot of stories of people that have done that as a child and then sort of drifted away and made a recommitment and came back. But I think the ideal is really that, you know, that there's a growth and a maturity. And someone said that becoming a Christian is giving as much as I understand, as much of myself as I know to as much of Jesus as I understand. And Jesus is infinite. You know, so I mean, throughout our life, you know, we're going to understand more and more about him and can give more of ourselves. But yeah, I absolutely, and I think God honors that. I think in a lot of people's life, they make a commitment as a child, they drift perhaps when they get a little bit older. But I think God, you know, just works to draw them back because he honors that commitment that people made as a child.
Which, not to over promote Highline Community Church, we just want you to go this morning somewhere every Sunday, forsake not the gathering together of the Christians. But it's why as parents we should introduce this to our kids. And I know in our case, our little daughter Ashley, I think she was about the same age as you, Debbie, and they taught heaven and hell one Sunday in Sunday school, and she came home and that was all she needed to hear. I don't want to go there, so tell me for sure how I go this way. And she received Christ, and within about a couple weeks, we were watching Ashley with Andy, who's 2 years younger, kind of sitting under this table, and she was pretty much cramming it down his throat. You don't want to go that way, Andy. Here's what you need to pray. So I'm all in on this, and I'm glad that it was that atmosphere you grew up in, Debbie. Mm. So who would you say specifically were the great influences on you in those days? Mom, dad, or others?
Yeah, definitely my parents. And I would say my pastor, too. And he was sort of a renegade in the Southern Baptist Church because he was so involved in the world around him that people thought that that was social gospel and maybe a little bit of a diversion from just Bible teaching and the traditional things of the church. But to me, and definitely to him and to so many others in our church, that just launched us into a career of being, you know, in the world, but not of the world, and to just love our neighbors, whether they are look like us or look different from us, and to love the poor, and to just, you know, if we don't get involved, who's going to? So
you've been involved in many things, but let's jump ahead to where you are now at Denver Works. Tell us what Denver Works does and what's your role there.
I started Denver Works in 95. And I was working in Five Points with affordable housing with Hope Communities, and people kept coming in saying, if I had a job, I could afford the rent. So I went to our director and said, we should start a jobs program. And he wisely said, we are focused on what we're focused on, but somebody should start a jobs program. About that time, Luis Villarreal from Save Our Youth called me and said, if you will come over, if you want to start this jobs thing, you can come over and work with us. And so I did that, and we had a workshop for eight people 1 week, and now 21 years later, about 31,000 people have come through the doors looking for jobs. And so that's what we do. I mean, it's not exactly rocket science. It's to talk to the employers out there and to talk to the job seekers and just get them connected. I mean, it is more sophisticated than that. We do have workshops and professional clothing that people can access and some mentoring and case management. And we have a specialty with ex-offenders, and that's what we do. So I started it 10 years ago, and then at the, I mean, excuse me, 21 years ago, then at the 10-year mark, I went, and Bob's going to know all about this, I went and worked with the Dalit Freedom Network because I wanted to do some international work too. The Dalits are the untouchables of India.
We know about that because Bob's wife, Allison, how many years has she been involved?
She was involved for a long time and good friends with Debbie, by the way. We've known Debbie for a long time.
About 100 years.
All the way back to seminary, I think, wasn't it? My gosh. So,
She looks a lot younger than us.
I know. What's the deal anyway?
I'm not sure where our diet needs to be changed or something. Mark, did you ask Lori about that? It's got to be it. But I just like your spirit, whatever it is you're working on. And I would say this. In some ways, it is rocket science. Now, I got to stop a second, though. Didn't we have a friend whose husband actually was a rocket scientist? I think Debbie Foster that worked for Teammates for Kids. I think he was a rocket scientist.
That's
so
great.
With her, we had to watch that term. But I think it is rocket science because too often people that have spiritual gifting like you do and human talents think in opposite ways than you think. They go the commercial route or the secular route with their talents, and God gets their leftovers. And it is breakout thinking to take a life like yours and say, I'm into missions, and one day it may look like the Dalits, and the next day it may look like Denver Works, but whatever it is, I'm going to take my talents this way. So I commend you for the rocket science dimension to your life. It's different than the way most people think. And unfortunately, God does sometimes equip us with all this stuff, and then we use it for furthering our own kingdom or something and give him our leftovers. Do you think I've lost my mind here?
Well, yes, but not in what you've just said. We take the former. No, I think you're right. And it isn't that, I don't want to get off, on a rabbit trail here. And it isn't that some people aren't called into, the secular business world because the kind of things that Debbie is doing really need support, from those people also, not only in giving jobs, but, helping fund the kind of things that Debbie is doing. So, when I think probably, people, there's too few Debbies, let's put it that way.
Amen.
Yeah.
So what's a workshop look like?
People come in on a Tuesday morning. I know you've interviewed Marcus Weaver before. He's one of our guys, and
Isn't he something?
He's great. And our whole staff is that way. Just love people, and it doesn't matter what their background is. But we specialize in low-income people in the five-county Denver area. That a lot of people have some kind of barrier. And so we say that, especially now, oh my goodness, there are so many employers that are begging for hard workers. And so we teach what we call the soft skills, which are professionalism and being on time and, finding your passion and matching that to a job. And then we work with employers all over the city. We have a database of about 200 that we work with, and we just do job placements.
Now, so you have to have the range of teaching someone that's maybe off the streets and doing that one day, and the next day educating a CEO on why they should possibly venture into a little bit of an unknown territory for them by hiring that person.
Right, right.
So
and not all of our people have a barrier. They just may need some extra help. You know how so many people find jobs through who you know? It's through your personal network. We try to be their personal network. and introduce them to employers that they may not otherwise cross paths with.
Do you have any favorite stories you could share with us that would kind of give us a kind of a picture of what that whole process looks like, of kind of a success maybe? I'd love to hear.
Yeah, one of my favorites is the gentleman that I just saw here in the studio a few minutes ago, Chuck King. And he, many years ago, he said, okay, Debbie, he was our board president for a while. And he said, I need, at his law office, he said, I need somebody just in the middle of the day to just assist with filing and just some entry-level law work. And we're in South Denver, and I know that that's probably not something that you could help us with. But then right after that, this lovely young woman came in and said, I need a job between, you know, like after I drop my kids off at school, and then I need to be able to pick them up in the middle of the afternoon. And, you know, I know you're in North Denver, but I'm in South Denver and blah, blah, blah. So we got them together, and she stayed there, and he mentored her for, I think she was there about a year. And then she got promoted to another job that was quite a promotion for her. And now he still teases me about taking her away from his law firm. But I feel like God does those things a lot. And oftentimes at the office, we're just kind of scratching our heads going, we could not have predicted how that came together. But that's an example. That was one of our early starts. And now she's doing quite well.
That's great.
I like that one. It's just this call followed by this call, and you just kind of think, okay, God's whispering to me. At least I can do is put these together. We had one with Reggie and Julie when they called and said, we'd like to adopt a kid. Would you help us sign the papers? And we're like, sure. And like 2 days later, my college buddy Will called and said, our 16-year-old's pregnant. Can you help us figure this out? And we're like, I think so.
Wow.
Just kind of put them together. And of course, that was, 35 years ago, maybe?
Yes, actually.
So those are God deals, and you probably see a lot of them all the time. Mm-hmm. So with the Rockies, where I work, we talk a lot about being a good self-evaluator, knowing where your strengths are, focusing on those strengths and excelling in those strengths, but then also getting in the batting cage or whatever and working on your weaknesses. And what you do in these workshops sounds like you help them become good self-evaluators, assess where they are, and then maybe paint a dream for them where they could go. Is that also true?
Right. That's exactly right. And we do all have strengths and weaknesses, and so we don't despair over our weaknesses. That's the way I feel about myself. You know, sometimes I think I'm just a big bag of mistakes that God has somehow built a quilt out of. But if he can, you know, if God can use me, he can use each of us in our everyday lives. And we talk about that in our workshops with our people, but really help them to find their strengths. And that's the premise of what we do. We don't say, here's some jobs, choose one, and maybe you can fit into it. We go, let's talk about you first. Let's talk about what your strengths are, because you do have strengths, and so many people have never been told that. And so we do career testing, and we talk about your God-given design, and we use a symbol called, it's a Petoskey stone, and people from Michigan will know what this is, but otherwise most of us didn't know what it was. But it's a rock that just looks like an ordinary rock when you find it on the shores of Lake Michigan. And but then when it's polished, a design comes out. And it's an interesting rock, and we say, that's like us. God sometimes needs to do a little polishing on us, but then this incredible design comes out. And so we thought, we need a symbol, and something like a diamond in the rough. But we wanted to give one to everybody, so we knew we couldn't afford diamonds. But we can't afford rocks. And so from time to time, when we can find these rocks at a rock shop, we give everybody their own Petoskey stone. And it's just about our God-given design and what God can do with us.
You know, one of my favorite psalms is Psalm 139. And I used to think this is the secret to how David, who wrote the psalm, was the greatest king in Israel's history. And it's a psalm about him understanding some things about himself. But, you know, he talks about, as he's the psalm is directed toward God, and he says, you know, you wove me together, you know, in the depths of the earth. And I think as you look at that, you know, you realize, well, he's kind of talking about his physical being. And then he goes on and he talks about also how God had, you know, created his inmost being, which, you know, I think is the way that he was describing what we would think of as personality. And then he makes the statement that, you know, that all of his days were written beforehand in God's book. And I think when you put that together, my sense is that what he understood, and I think this is true of all of us, I think this is the way God has worked, is that he was so designed for God's plans and purposes that even his physical body, his personality, his life experience, that, you know, all of that he understood, God had his hand on. And, you know, the outcome of that was that he was able to be this great king. So, and again, you know, we live in a world where people aren't told that about themselves. So, you know, what you're saying really makes a lot of sense.
So that was Bob Belts. I'm Bo Mitchell, your co-host today on You Get the Blessing. Our special guest is Debbie Johnson. As we move towards winding up the program, let's talk about the needs of Denver Works. What can listeners do to get involved? Need money?
Oh, sure.
How much?
A lot. $100,000.
You know, we've had a listener before stop on his bike and had never heard the guest speak, was listening in his earphones and called and gave a check in excess of that. So we know if you don't have $100, that's a lot of money. Hmm. But if you can, check out Denver Works. What's the website?
DenverWorks.org.
DenverWorks.org, and just look at the needs. But what specifically, like, what kind of budget you run on, and how much do we need to raise each year to keep going?
Well, our budget is pretty small. We're we do a little, I mean a lot on a little, and it's about at $270,000. But we are moving into some, what we're trying to do is help people move into what we call middle skill jobs. So we're doing collaborations with Emily Griffith Technical College, and we're moving into more sectors, meaning just the trades and jobs that can provide middle class employment, I guess you could say. That's kind of a crass way to say it, but just so people get out of poverty. And so we're doing some really innovative things. We have actually a new director, and he just came on about a month ago, and he's doing amazing things. So I'm the founder, and the I still have my finger in the pot part-time, and I love it so much. And another thing is I've put all these ideas in a book called A Pocket Full of Seeds, which will be out this October. And it's just 365 ways to get involved in your world every day.
Great.
Both locally or internationally, and just real practical ideas for businesses and churches and individuals and families. And it's just for all the ordinary Christians, which is pretty much
all of us.
Most of us that are listening to this radio program.
Congratulations. Writing a book is complicated.
Bo has one coming out this fall also, and which I've read. I haven't read yours yet, so I want to. But say again, Pocket Full of Seeds?
Right.
Yeah, Pocket Full of Seeds.
That's what our right-handed and left-handed pitchers need with the Colorado Rockies, a pocket full of seeds. Seeds is a term we use for a really hard, good fastball.
Oh.
Throwing seeds, but I like yours even better. So congratulations on that. So DenverWorks.org.
Org.
If you want to send money, we're asking you folks to consider just helping Debbie and other staff members there do what they've been doing. 31,000 people, you're saying, have been placed or
well, they've come through. Close to 6,000 have gotten jobs.
Oh, wow. Mm. That is fabulous. So lives change because of what you're doing.
We have a group called Serve that are always looking for opportunities to kind of step in and help someone. What could like folks like us out in the suburbs maybe help you do?
Yeah, we can use mentors. We can use people to donate professional clothing. We can use... Yeah, like
more
that.
Mine
like
than
that.
Bob's wearing today.
Yeah. Just give us a call at the office, and we can help you. In fact, we would help. We would find out your strengths, and then see how that could benefit people all around Denver.
All right, Debbie. Well, we want to close with Bob praying for what you're doing and for you. If you don't mind, Bob, just lead us in a word on behalf of Debbie and Denver Works.
I will do that. And if you're out there listening to the show and you haven't quite figured out what we're talking about here when receiving Christ, it's as simple as simply opening your life and saying, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. Come into my life. And that's what Debbie did as a six-year-old. And we want to encourage you that if you need to make a start like that, that maybe you do it today. Lord, thank you for Debbie and her life and her love for you and the way that she has sought to be your woman. And we pray for her. We pray you'd continue to bless her. Pray for Denver Works, Lord. We just think about how many people are really do need jobs and how sometimes that just seems an overwhelming thing for someone to figure out. So we pray you'd bless them and continue to use them in greater ways than you already have, Lord, and just to bless people. And Lord Jesus, thank you that you come into our life and you are the one that makes all the difference. So, Lord, we just pray for anyone listening that has never done that, Christ, that you draw them to yourself today. And we pray it in your name. Amen.
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 Thank you for tuning in today, everybody. Debbie, you've been a wonderful guest. Congratulations on everything God's got you doing. Bob, see you next time.
See you, Bo.
Thanks for tuning in. You get the blessing.
Here comes the sun, and I say, it's all right.